Well, good morning to you guys again. It's good to have the opportunity to speak God's word. You know, it truly is a blessing to be able to teach it because you have to study it. And it never fails to bless you. This week we will continue in our look into the names of God. Last week we we started with the very first name that we're introduced with, that of Elohim. And we talked about what that meant this week we're going to speak on the second name that the Bible introduces to us in Scripture. Some people, when they teach on the names of God, will go to Adonai because the closeness of the word, the name Adonai with Jehovah, which is the one we're going to talk about this week. But Jehovah is actually the second one that the Scriptures introduce us to. And that's in Genesis chapter 2. But we talked about the fact that Elohim has to do with God in relation to creation, his supremacy, especially over his creation, and the fact that he's the judge over the world. Whereas Jehovah is a different situation. Whereas Elohim, we talked about how it's mentioned over 50 times in the first three chapters alone, and roughly 2,600-2,700 times altogether. The name Elohim is actually mentioned about 6,800 times in your Old Testament scriptures. I'm sorry, Jehovah. So thank you for keeping me on target there. Otherwise, I'll be preaching on Elohim. So, but yes, Jehovah is actually named about 6,800 times in your Old Testament scriptures. And so turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. This isn't the first mention of it. But here we have where I want to start as we begin to look at this name, Jehovah. Here Jacob is laying his head upon some rocks, and he's using them as pillows, and he goes to sleep. And you're probably familiar with this famous dream that he has, and he sees this great ladder that's reaching down from heaven to earth, Jacob's ladder. And he sees angels going back and forth between heaven and earth. And there in verse 13, we'll pick up Genesis 28:13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Here, so the question then is begged. We've already looked at Elohim. And if Elohim is what you are, God, the meaning of the Supreme One, who are you? Who is God? Not just what are you, but who is this God that is talking to him? We oftentimes, again, I mentioned last week that we see God, even though we revere him, we worship him, we acknowledge who he is, we sometimes see God too small. And this is why it says, oh, let's magnify his name together. And there are those who will teach you that if you don't get the name right, then you can't be saved. That's a bunch of hogwash, okay? You get the name right. Whether you understand this message today isn't going to affect your salvation unless you, at the very end, hear the gospel and you put your faith in that. But there is so much that you can learn. Who is this God? Whenever he says, the Lord stood above, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father. Who is this? What you have here is the Lord God. If you notice in most English translations, if you've got all capital letters there, Lord, that is the name Jehovah. So ultimately what this is saying here is when it says, I am the Lord God, it is I am Jehovah Elohim. And see, when you begin to recognize that this is the language that God uses, you begin to see things in a bigger way. because he's introducing, when we look at Jehovah, he's introducing something about himself that he wants you to understand. And it's going to be, I think, impactful for you to understand. So with Elohim, I ask the question, is what you are, oh God, the Supreme One, then who are you? I told you last week, I am a father. But who am I? Well, I'm Don. Here we're seeing a personal name. Jehovah is a personal name of God's. And so that's what Jehovah is. It's a personal name, where Elohim talks about his more of his title, his supremacy. Elohim, as we're going to see through this study as we look today, is literally God's personal name. And I guess before going any further, I ought to deal with the elephant in the room. There are those, if you do a study on this, and maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you're not, they will tell you that the name isn't Jehovah, it's Yahweh. I'm not going to do a big old study on which one it is. If you got questions on that, I'll be happy to answer your questions on that. But I will tell you this, those who suggest that there is no J in the Hebrew, well, they're right. And they say you should pronounce it Yahweh. Well, no one knows how God's name is pronounced. No one but God. That expression, pronouncement, has been lost to mankind. It's completely lost. No one, even Hebrew rabbis will tell you. It's a best guess that we don't know. As a matter of fact, the Jews say that one of the ways in which they'll recognize their Messiah is because of his being able to say his name. But to cut to the, make the long story just a little bit shorter, you can say Jehovah. I'll say Jehovah. If you can't say Jehovah, then you can't say Jesus. Because there was no, if there's no J there, obviously that's Greek. But even John, all of these names, feel free to use the name Jehovah. Don't ever feel compelled like you need to use Yahweh. Yahweh, again, is ultimately, as we get into looking at the other version of Lord, the lowercase version, which is Adonai. So know this. When you have, if you have an English Bible, if you have all capital letters, capital L-O-R-D, all capitals, that is in the scriptures Jehovah. If you have Lord with this, a capital L and then lowercase the rest, that is the name Adonai. And again, we may look at Adonai, we probably will, because there's a lot of confusion on that. The difference between the two, originally, the Jews, not wanting to take the Lord's name in vain, refused to say the name of Jehovah. So they replaced it with Lord Adonai. And so, ultimately, when you're looking at your scripture, if you see capital L-O-R-D, that is Jehovah. And as I said, Jehovah is God's personal name. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. Isaiah 42, 8. Isaiah 42, 8 says, I am the Lord. Again, that word is Jehovah. I am Jehovah. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And so, whenever we look at Elohim, we understand that God, who never tries to prove he exists, declares himself, I am Elohim. God made heaven and earth, and he announces his creation. But whenever God begins to reveal himself in a personal way, as we're going to see, he reveals himself to Moses in this personal fashion, it is as Jehovah. And he says, as we just read, that Jehovah is his name. A personal name. Look at Jeremiah with me. Next book over. Jeremiah chapter 33. Verse 2. Jeremiah 33, 2. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah, the maker thereof, the Jehovah that formed it, to establish it, Jehovah is his name. And so again, the scriptures, as we see, is God is letting us know that his name is Jehovah. Now, Jehovah, again, is a transliteration from the Hebrew text, and so I say we don't know the exact pronunciation of it. But this is how your translators translated it, and there's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to get a test whenever you get to heaven and make sure that you pronounce this the right way. But it is important. And it is beneficial to understand, why does God go from revealing himself 50-some-odd times in the first three chapters as Elohim to now presenting himself as Elohim? Does God ever do anything without a reason? So what reason is there for now presenting himself as Jehovah? I want to know that. I hope you want to know that, because I'm going to tell you anyway. So let's hope it interests you. Again, in your Bible, Jehovah with capital L-O-R-D, that is Jehovah with the lowercase as Adonai. It's used 6,800 times. And a quote by Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, puts it this way to kind of help you understand the difference. He says, we can say, my God, meaning my Elohim, but not my Jehovah, because Jehovah is my Elohim. You understand what he's saying here? You don't say, my Jehovah. You say, my God, my Elohim is Jehovah. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's what you need to say. I'm saying that's going to help you understand the difference between Elohim and Jehovah. Jehovah is who he is. God is what he is. Jehovah shows us he's the personal God. Deist, if you're familiar with what deism believes and teaches, is the idea that, oh yeah, there's a God. This is one of the reasons why they want to rewrite the history books and suggest that to you that a lot of our founders were deists. Well, deism has kind of changed its understanding over the years. Deism, in its truest understanding, is that God exists, but he does not get involved with creation. He creates it, and then he stands back. It's the idea that Elohim exists and basically stays out of the way. Jehovah counters that idea. Jehovah is the personal God, the God who gets involved with you. This is one of the reasons why God reveals him this way, is he's showing he is a God, not just created and stayed back there, but he's a God that saw the situation and got involved with us. He's the personal God. He's the God who involves himself with us. The name, as we're going to see, refers to him as the eternal. Listen closely. The name, it describes to him for us as, refers to him as the eternal, immutable God. And you've heard this term, who was, who is, and who is to come. This is part of what's wrapped up in Jehovah versus Elohim. It is Jehovah, if you're familiar with Jehoshaphat, that it's Jehovah that Jehoshaphat, when he's standing in the court of the temple and he's getting ready to go to battle, it's Jehovah that he calls out to. He stands there and he's appealing to the specific promises of Jehovah. He's appealing to him, his promises, to the glory, to his reputation. Remember when Moses talks to God about his reputation, that God, you can't do this. Why? Because there are promises that he's and things that he's done. If God was to lie, cheat, or steal, it mars who he is, his character. And here Jehoshaphat, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you want to read the story, is standing there and he's talking, and he doesn't say, oh, Elohim, and call upon his promises. He says, oh, Jehovah. He's talking to him based upon those promises in the relationship that God revealed himself to. And again, you can read that in 2 Chronicles 20. For time's sake, we won't go there. But I would recommend you read that. But ultimately, what he says and he does in this chapter is he asks three different questions. He asks three different questions. He says, are you not Jehovah? Are you not the one that did this, that said this? He says, did you not? And the last question he says, and he repeats, is, will you not? You see, you don't say that thing to a God if you're a deist, do you? You don't say that to a God who's uninvolved. You don't say that to a God who's not going to get involved. He's going to leave you to your own self. But to a God who's revealed himself as being involved in your life, that was Jehovah that was revealed to the nation of Israel. Our first reference, which again, for time's sake, we won't go there, but write down in your notes, is the first reference to Jehovah is actually in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, which is interesting. Because, yes, it's during those first three chapters where God is really pointing out that it's Elohim, it's Elohim, it's Elohim. But then once he begins to relate and he starts to really elaborate on mankind, keep in mind, mankind is of a higher creation than animals. And it's whenever he begins to relate to mankind, this higher being, this being, meaning us, who can relate to him in a loving relationship way, who can understand who he is, it's when he begins to do this, it's then that he mentions his name, Jehovah. But he doesn't fully explain who Jehovah is. That is a progressive revelation that unfolds. And it's not until Moses, actually, that we see that Moses is the one who's given, really, the information about who Jehovah is and what Jehovah really means. Until then, you're going to see it used. If you're here for our Wednesday Bible study, not this past week, but the week before that, we were in Genesis chapter 22, and you see Abraham names a place because of the offering of Isaac. He names that place Jehovah Jireh. Well, so we do see that the name exists, but we do also know that there's no true full understanding of what it means, and we'll get to that in a second. But understand this as we consider the breakdown of the name Jehovah. Hava means to be, which is basically a portion of what the name is, Jehovah. It means to be, or being, you know, like existing, almost like life. There's a connection to being and life itself, okay? In other words, it has to do with existing. You and I, we exist, right? But we exist in a much different way. And so God reveals himself through the name Jehovah as an existing one, but that name Jehovah brings out something different because you and I am because I was created. Same thing with you. You exist, you are, but you are because you were created. But God, Jehovah, in his name is caught up in the idea that he exists outside of that creation. And that's what he brings about. This name, Jehovah, communicates the eternal aspect of God, is what it does. Turn back to Genesis with me and see what I'm talking about in Scripture. No use in taking my word for it. Genesis chapter 21, verse 33. Genesis 21:33. Genesis 21:33 says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of Jehovah, the everlasting God." And so this name Jehovah is a personal aspect, but it's also tied to his existence as his being. Again, different than you and I. We exist, but we exist because we were created, whereas he didn't. And so we see that this name Jehovah was at least known to some extent. But as we're going to see through Scripture, it wasn't really understood. It wasn't understood to its full extent until Moses. It's in Exodus chapter 3 that God takes a major step of revealing himself. You hear me talk and teach about progressive revelation all the time. Here's another example of it. It's in Exodus chapter 3 that God takes a major step in revealing himself like up to that point he never has before. And yes, you can turn. If I'm hitting at it that long, obviously that means we're going to go there. Exodus chapter 3. It's in Exodus chapter 3 that the meaning of God's name, Jehovah, is revealed. This is where it's revealed to us. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 13. Here, before this is the conversation. Moses has met God at the burning bush, and God is talking to him about sending him back to Egypt to free the Jews. And let's pick up here in verse 13. And Moses said unto Elohim, I believe the version there is, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And God and Elohim said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord Jehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations." And so this name of Jehovah, and this idea of this being, this existing, this life, this always being. And so let me drive the point home to you. You are because you were created. So have you ever wondered why he would... You ever wondered, am I the only one? Maybe I'm the only silly one here. And whenever I... Early on I would say, what does God mean, I am that I am? What does that mean? Well, it means a number of things here. It means I am, meaning I exist. I exist beyond all things. Before all things. Before everything, I exist. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I was, I am, and I am to come. I am the same thing. Alpha and Omega, all of these things are wrapped up into this concept, this I am, this idea of I am that I am. And it's connected to this issue, this idea of Jehovah. Jehovah is his name. I am. Gives us an understanding of this everlasting one that we just read in Genesis 21. This everlasting aspect of Jehovah. Meaning, whenever God begins to introduce himself in a personal way to mankind, as he begins to make covenants with mankind, he is the one that is before all things, above all things. And that's what he's talking about. We know that in Genesis 22, like I said, that Abraham who lived... Well, let me get somewhere else first before I go there. Even though the name Jehovah is introduced to us here, I showed you that back in Genesis 22 and even in the other verses earlier in Genesis, we see Jehovah as name. But we see something also here in Exodus chapter 6 I want to show you. This is the concept of what I was telling you about this progressive aspect, how it's to Moses that this true understanding of what Jehovah is. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord, said unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And Elohim spoke unto Moses and said unto him, "I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of Elohim Almighty, but by the name of Jehovah was I not known to them." What do you think he means by that? What do you think he means that I appeared unto them, and we saw that the name was used before? What does he mean by the fact that I appeared of them, but by the name Jehovah I was not known of them? Well, it's pretty simple. It just means that there wasn't a full understanding given. The truth of the full understanding, revelation of what Jehovah really signified, what it meant, what contained within it, wasn't given to them. This is that progressive aspect of it. Much like, I guess one of the examples I can give is that whenever you meet the woman that you're going to marry and you begin to court her, date her, or whatever word you want to use, I guess depending on how old you are, you spend time getting to know your wife, don't you? And it's not until you're married that hopefully you know your wife. There's a different intimacy. There's a different level of knowing. And so just like God had obviously must have revealed something about his name Jehovah to these men, Abraham, because he used the name, as we see in other places, in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 2, you see Jehovah used there. But here we see clearly it's not until Moses that he begins to really articulate that. And there's a reason for that. Why? Why is it not until Moses? Well, it's when those covenant relationships with a certain people get involved. God begins to work using that name. It's now with Moses that Jehovah is revealed as the name that is connected with God's covenant promises to a particular people. It's the unfolding revelation from God to man in this expression or manifestation. As this personal living being. And he begins to show that he's one that's going to fulfill his promises. Again, for those who believe in a God who creates and doesn't get involved, it's a totally different thing to have a God who makes promises and keeps those promises to you. This is the Jehovah that we begin to understand. And as we'll see as we go through this study, you'll find these compound names. You got Jehovah Nisi. You got all of these Jehovah Jireh, which I already mentioned those, that talk about these different aspects of his personal relationship. All of them have to do with an aspect of his relationship with mankind. And it's Jehovah, the one who does this. Jehovah, my banner. Jehovah, shalom. Jehovah, our peace. These types of things. All of these speak about an attribute of God in a personal relationship with us, particularly with the nation of Israel. There's a quote by an author. His name is Nathan Stone. He says, "Here then, the ever-living God reveals himself." And when he says "here then," he's talking about Exodus 3, when he's talking about telling Moses his name. He says, "Here then the everlasting God reveals himself to his covenant people as the unchanging God who remains faithful to his word through many generations." And so as I try to, because I'm a visual person, I don't know about you, when I try to visualize this, I would try to look at it like this. Noah had three sons, right? Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? To all of them, Elohim existed. To all of them, and even people later, they even if they got the right Elohim, the right God, it was only through Shem line, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God revealed himself as Jehovah. You see, whatever you begin, you realize is that it's here under this covenant relationship with his people that God begins to use this Jehovah, and he reveals himself as a God who makes promises, who keeps those promises. And that's what these different compound names mean whenever we begin to look at Jehovah Jireh and all these others. It's about a God who makes these covenant promises and fulfills these promises with his people. And so Jehovah is uniquely tied to the nation of Israel. It's uniquely tied to it. All nations, as I said, had their Elohim. And even if they retained their knowledge of the true Elohim, he still would have been mainly to them Elohim. That's the God whom they would have understood. But it's after, it's through Shem, through Abraham, it's through Isaac, it's through Jacob, that he reveals again that this covenant relationship, as this law is being instituted here shortly, that you see God begin to use this name, Jehovah. The other thing I would tell you, Jehovah is actually used of the entire Godhead. It's a remarkable study beyond the time I've got for one Sunday, just the Jehovah aspect of it. Not only is it used of the whole Godhead, it's actually used of each member of the Godhead. You might see the Lord God, Lord in the lowercase version, which would be Adonai Elohim. That is a reference generally to the Father. And so you might see a different version, like I said, Lord God, meaning Adonai Jehovah. I said Elohim, I said that wrong. That's referring to the Father. And then you can have Jehovah Elohim, have it reversed, and you have it referencing God the Son. And so you can see how even having this in your Bible, having the translators get this in here, we have a lowercase and the uppercase version, you can see who the context is actually referring to. And so I'll say that again. If you've got Adonai Jehovah, that would be a reference to God the Father. If you've got Jehovah Elohim, that's a reference to God the Son. So in this name, Jehovah, we see an encompassing aspect of God as revealing himself in a personal way. That's important to me. I don't know about to you. You see, God reached down. He reached down to us even before he reached down to us through Christ Jesus in the person. He reached down to mankind even by sharing a new name and a new aspect of himself, saying, I am Jehovah Elohim. I am God Almighty, but I'm also the personal God of yours, the God that you can count on, the God that you can trust on, the God that you can converse with, the God that you can pray to. So we don't have a God that's far away. And as I said, he's a God who's a personal God. But you don't have to call out to Jehovah. Many, again, will teach, there's a lot of teachers out there will condemn you for either using the name Jehovah or not using the name Jehovah. I mean, all of you have heard of Jehovah Witnesses. You don't need to call on Jehovah. You don't need to use that name. It's fantastic to be able to use the scriptures and understand what it was used for. But you know what name is the name that, as progressive revelation took place, as you had God who revealed himself as Elohim and then progressively says, I am Jehovah, and then we have the New Testament, and what name do we have now? Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the name that you need to know. That's the name that we need to call on. Understand, and I love to explain to people this, you won't find Jehovah in your New Testament. You won't find it there. I don't think that was an accident. The name that God says, that the name that the New Testament points to, just like he used Jehovah for the nation of Israel, in this day of grace, in this time, the name that we call him is Jesus. And Scripture is very clear. That's the name that every knee will bow to. That's the name that every tongue will confess. And Jesus identified himself, and I'm considering, expanding more on this thought as we finish the series. One of my favorite things that Jesus said connects him right to this name, Jehovah. And he tells the Jews, and they were ready to kill him for it. And they knew exactly what he was saying. Before Abraham was, I am. Who is Jesus identifying himself as? The covenant Jehovah, the one who spoke to Abraham. The covenant Jehovah, the one who delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. The one who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And so, it is fantastic to know what Jehovah means, why it is God revealed it. And I think we should know it. There's a depth of knowledge that comes from us. God wants us to know him. And you get to know him better by understanding these differences. But the greatest way to know God is to know Jesus Christ. And that's the only way to know God. And if you haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work, you will meet him one day. It won't be a good meeting. So I would encourage you, if you haven't put your faith and trust, if you are listening and you don't understand anything else, understand that it's Jesus Christ who is the great I Am. It is Jesus Christ who is Jehovah. It is Jesus Christ who is part of that Godhead. And it's Jesus Christ in whom you can have forgiveness of sins. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And it's only by the finished work of Jesus Christ that those sins can be covered. And the fantastic news is whenever you understand that, is now you get to call him by a new name. Father. See, that's another name. People in the world has this mistake. They think that God is the Father of all. No. Scripture also teaches one thing very, very clear. We call him Father because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We are made heirs by being in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you cannot call God Father. Matter of fact, Paul makes it abundantly clear you are an enemy with God. And so by understanding who Jesus truly is, we get this new name that we get to call him Father. So I would encourage you, if you haven't put your faith and trust in him, that you would. Whitey, would you close us in prayer?